Hey everyone, welcome to episodes 99 and 100. Tonight we're talking about questioning what you believe. So, the real question is this: what does it take to make the gospel come to life? If you are struggling with what you believe, or if you do believe but you want to feel the truth on a deeper level, or even if you are experienced in your faith and you want to deepen your relationship with Christ even further, what steps can all of us take to not just bring the gospel to life, but to cause the gospel to bring life into us? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Brian Robbins, and welcome to Bringing the Gospel to Life. All right, I know I did not record yesterday, and so hopefully this episode makes up for two of them. And I'll just be honest, I just couldn't because I just didn't have anything from the day to share. And I know that part of this challenge is doing it every day, but I think the important thing is just... you know, consistency over time. So I'm not being super incredibly tight on my goal, just like I think other people need to learn to be. But as long as you're consistently doing what you said you'd do, you're good. So I might have to do an extra makeup one at some point if I find something good. But yesterday, there just wasn't one. But today, I hope this one is twice as good as some of the other ones, so it counts for two. So here's what I want to talk about. And I'd kind of started developing this thought the other day, but I didn't really know how to say it. But after some of the things I experienced today, I think I do. And so it goes like this. What I discovered when I started really learning and feeling like making the gospel come to life, like when I really started to connect to my Heavenly Father through the gospel, I discovered a pattern. We've talked about this before, but I discovered that a lot of times I had to do a lot more unlearning than I did actual learning. Like a lot of what I had to do was unlearn previous old thoughts and old beliefs and then have those make way for the new ones. And it's interesting how there's so many times when we think that there's something that's part of our religion and we know it and we believe it. And then when someone asks us, they're like, where did you find that? Or where are you coming up with that belief? And when we go back to it, it turns out that we don't know. And it turns out that actually what we're saying is actually not what we teach in this church. And by what we teach in the church, I mean by what the apostles and prophets are teaching. And so today, this was just reaffirmed to me. I want to tell you a story about it because it just kind of rocked my world. But it is so important to question what you believe and if what you actually believe is reality. And here's where I'm going with this. So as part of this master's program I'm in, there's two things. So I'm doing a statistics class that we do research on. And then once a week, we also do this thing where we have the people who wrote the gospel topics essays or took part in it, or at least know enough about it to be able to comment on it, they come and they just speak to us for now, and we ask them questions. Well, today we did my research class, and then today for the 1 hour thing, we had Dr. Stephen Harper, who we could definitely say is the top professional in the world, expert in the world on Joseph Smith, like no question. He knows things. He's the guy who really put quite a bit of work into saints, and anyway, he's the man. And so between him and my statistics professor today, like I learned some things today that completely debunked what I think so many people would say in our church. So I want to share maybe two things that just, it really opened me up to this idea that like, man, I've got to be better at taking what others say. Like I need to be open and willing to learn from others, but I also need to do better at closing, not listening to what everyone says, because what a lot of people teach and share, they're just echoing beliefs, or they're echoing or just repeating things that they've heard from other people when there's no grounding in it. So let me give you some examples. So the statistics class has been absolutely amazing because we've been researching like really like very relevant questions, such as whether video game addictions lead to more depression, or whether being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has an effect on your likelihood to succeed later in life. You know, just like these very relevant questions, whether seminary has an impact on people, whether parenting styles has an effect on religiosity, like just like all these really cool connections. And today we discuss some that I've just always assumed were true, and they're not true at all. For example, one of them, and I think I got this belief just because of the job I'm in, but we studied the connection between anxiety and suicide and being a member of the church and whether that has an impact on it. And as we went into it, we started looking at the numbers of like the research studies and the data. Like, for some reason, I live in this world where I'm under the impression that because part of our religion is becoming better and becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ, that members of our church have more anxiety and stress than other churches do. And I've always assumed that just because of the way people talk about other religions is they're like, yeah, they don't really make you keep commandments, so they kind of do whatever they want. But then I deal with, or I get to help teenagers a lot during the day, and so I see a lot of them who are dealing with anxiety, so I'm kind of in the world that I'm living in. I'm in this bubble of, like, I see LDS teenagers with depression, anxiety, and other problems all the time. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this must be a really serious issue in our religion. And that's where people talk about it at church. Like, they talk about it with the youth, and they don't. So, like, this is just really apparent in my mind. And so I kind of set this belief that anxiety and depression and suicide is this huge problem in the LDS church. But guess what? Out of all other religions, including people who don't claim a religion or who are atheists, LDS members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints by far have the lowest depression statistically across the board than any other religion. Sorry, any other Christian religion that they measured that, just Christian religions in the area. And that really blew my mind because I was like, there's no way, like, the world I live in, there's no way. And they're like, yeah, it turns out that, like, they're consistently, without question, students who engage, or teenagers who engage with the gospel, and even teenagers who don't engage with the gospel, like teenagers who proclaim that they're members of the church, statistically have way less anxiety and depression than people of other faiths or of no faith. And that was just so shocking to me because of the world I live in. And so I'm like, man, where did I come up with that belief? And I realized it's just from my own impressions and from the what other people say and just overexposure to the concept. Because what I deal with is the people who are really brave enough to say they have anxiety, depression, like so many of them are attributing to the fact that they think the church has so many high standards and that's why they feel the way they do. And our professor said something so interesting. He's like, it's not that the LDS church makes them have depression and anxiety. They probably would have had depression and anxiety anyway, but just because they're members of the church, they, like, we are trying to find a way to attach a meaning to that. And so a lot of times people will use the church to attach it to that. And I just, man, that was so interesting. So, like, I just learned, like, I have these worldviews, I have these beliefs that I think are so true so often in our religion, and they're just not. It was just so powerful to me. So I'll give one other example. Hopefully this helps you see, like, if you've got beef or if you have something that's not, you don't really love about our religion, or you hear people complain some things about, like, you've really got to question it. Like, you've really got to question it. So here's another one that we talked about. So Dr. Stephen Harper came to talk to us about the first vision today. And here's a pop quiz, and it's definitely a trick question, but I'll ask it to you guys and just you see what kind of comes to mind. What do you think is the most important thing for us to learn from the first vision? If you were going to go to the prophets and apostles, or you were going to survey everyone, or if you were going to, like, have to make a decision on what is the most important doctrine taught from the first vision, what would it be? Now, chances are, and if you thought about it, like the most important doctrine taught, you could pretty much come up with a few answers, but I think predominantly more people came up with this answer than others. And that answer is this, without a doubt, and the reason I can say this is because Dr. Harper was sharing this, but he's like, without a doubt, whenever I ask people this question, the number one answer is always that God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost are three separate beings. And I was like, well, yeah, obviously, like, our whole church, you know, the whole doctrine of the Godhead, we believe, is kind of founded in that moment, right? And so he's like, so whenever I'm in Sunday school or I go to church meetings and stuff, like, when I hear people talk about the first vision, I hear them like try to emphasize that point, and they really teach that doctrine like over and over and over again, and that's what they make it about. And he's like, but that's not what I would do. And when you know the person who studied the first vision more than anyone in the history of the world says that, like, we've got to pay attention to him. He's like, that's not what I would teach from there. And he's like, but it's interesting to me because think about it. That's not what the prophets are teaching from it right now. He's like, think about it. What's President Nelson focusing on from the first vision? President Nelson has been asking us for over the past, you know, year or so, like, how do you hear him? How do you hear the Lord? He's like, I would teach two things from the first vision, and they are personal revelation and that teenagers, young teenagers, can receive forgiveness for their sins. And he's like, but we live in a world where so many people, and somehow this got started, but they're teaching that the most important doctrine of the first vision is the Godhead. And maybe you guys don't care about this as much as I do. The reason I care about it is because I've tried to take the doctrine of the Godhead and make it relevant for teenagers in my lessons, and it's really hard. It's really, really hard to try to make that really matter to them. But how much does it matter to for a teenager to hear, God answers your prayers, he knows your name, and no matter what you've done, you can be forgiven of your sins. Like, that's so simple, but and that's exactly what the prophets are teaching about. And he's like, go back and look at all the general conferences and see how many of them are trying to teach the Godhead from the first vision. And he's like, they're not. So why do we do it as members? I was like, dang, I don't know. And like, I don't know. Maybe you don't even think about this the way I do, but the important thing is that two times today I had this experience where I was like, why do I believe what I believe? Do I have good reasons for it? And if I don't, I've got to be ready and willing to throw it out or to change it, because so much I think of how we view our religion is from other people or from our own experiences. And it is just as important to unlearn things that we have put into our belief system on our own and other people have put in on their own. It's just as important to unlearn those things as it is to learn things from our leaders and from the Spirit and stuff like that. So anyway, sorry, maybe you guys don't care about that one, but that's just been on my mind all day, and it's been so important to me, and it's just done so much for me. Because I know I've had some beliefs and some past experiences that have left me feeling a little jaded, a little disappointed, a little like I struggle with certain topics. And I realize that my problem is never with the truth, and it's never with the prophets. It's always with some false belief that I assumed and made on my own. And when I go back and question it, it turns out that it has no founding in something that actually matters. So hopefully someone out there can use that, and it'll be useful. But let me know what you think, as always, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.